Welcome to the Victory Family Church podcast. Thanks for joining us today. For sermon notes and videos related to this message, please visit media@victory.com.
All right. Hey, welcome to week two of Playlist. Would you give them another hand and thank them? It's a 7-week series where we're taking songs out of the culture, the kind of we can open up people's hearts in an allegorical way to the things that God really wants to do in people's hearts. The song, of course, is about relationships. They're complicated. Anybody have any relationships that are complicated? All right. That's just the nature of life, isn't it? Relationships are complicated things. And I want to talk to you today about how God uses relationships to bring His presence, His grace, even His help into our life. You know, the fact of it is, every one of us, we need one another. You need people in your life. You need individuals. And we're going to talk to you. I want to show you in the scripture why the Bible actually teaches that. But so often what happens in people's lives is we push away from that for a lot of reasons. A lot of it simply we've been hurt or we've been wounded and we just, it's not worth the risk. And you build these walls around yourself and you think you've protected yourself, but you build a prison. People need people. It's one of the reasons I so encourage you to be involved in a small group in this church so that you can connect with people, not just on a learning level where you can learn about what God's word says, how to parent, how to be in relationships, marriage. It goes on and on, all the things you can learn. But you can develop friendships. You can make connections with people. And you're going to see today how critically important that is. Because the reality of it is every one of us need people. We need them in our life and we need them desperately. Now, we don't just need them spiritually, we need them physically. And by the way, I want to thank every one of you who's given toward the support of helping the recovery of Hurricane Harvey in Texas. Just to let you know, to date, you've given already upwards of $25,000 to that hurricane support. Thank you so much. And every penny of that, and I mean every penny of it, is literally going to go into helping put the lives of people back together and people without insurance. Remember, Hurricane Harvey, now we're not even involved yet in the Florida aspect, but Hurricane Harvey alone, they got 5 feet of rain. I mean, that's almost unimaginable. And people with no flood insurance. So right now, we're of course helping financially, and those monies are going directly to those affected peoples. And they're managed through a local church, so there's no administrative cost. It's getting directly to the people. Also, I want to encourage you, go on our website and find out what items you could be bringing. Every weekend when you come to church, just bring some stuff. Drop it off at the truck. If you want to be a part of that team, we're developing a team. Sean and Lori Warren have had that in their heart for years. They've been doing this as they moved up here from Louisiana, so they were a part of being devastated by a hurricane. And we really want to help them to kind of gather a team around them and be able to be prepared for these things in the future. But every weekend over the next couple weeks, when you come, bring stuff, drop it off at the truck over here at this side of the property. We're going to send another truck down with supplies. We're also sending Pastor Steve Moore down, getting rid of him for at least 3 weeks. And Steve's a great leader, and he's going to go down and he's going to help lead teams to go in and rebuild, and because they have a leadership gap there. So many people are just trying to put their lives back together. There are also work crews leaving from Victory, and we're going to buy some materials from here at Home Depot. Home Depot, my understanding is they're going to ship it down there for free because it's hard to get materials there. We're sending work teams down. People have taken vacation weeks to go down there. We're going to put people's houses back together. We're going to bring the materials with us. So thank you so much, so much, so much for making a difference in the lives of the victims of that hurricane. You're making a great difference. People need us when they need us. Relationships are critical. They're absolutely critical. They're critical. But for so many of us, the reason we don't press into them, the reason that some of us are even struggling in our current relationships is because of the things in our lives that make it very difficult for us to reach into the lives of other people. Now, that song that was beautifully sung, and you noticed they didn't ask me to sing it, but I do have a song for you. Mine will be bold in a cappella. And so, I really knew nothing about country music ever. as you know, I just never listened to it. I was more of a 70s kid that, let's just say, was ingesting things that would make you see the world a little differently. Anybody ever been there? No? Okay. How many of you remember the second use for a Frisbee? Who's old enough to understand? Raise your hand. Yeah, okay. Now you're the young, like, what could that be? None of your business. And I listened more like to the rock stuff. But, well, when I met Michelle, she's from the South, the Deep South. And if you ever go through the Deep South and turn on your radio, every other station is a country station. And I'm now, if you're a country music fan, this is probably going to offend you, but it seemed like everything I turned on, it was and so I know that's not country music. For you country music fans, don't get mad at me, okay? I apologize, but this is the third time I've done it, so I actually meant to do it, so I'm sorry. But I got to hear, I never knew of a guy named Randy Travis. How many of you remember Randy Travis? Now, how many of you have never heard of Randy Travis? Just wave at me. Bless your heart. That's just pitiful. So what do I do? The Bible said, let him that's ignorant be ignorant still. None of your business. Now, he was a real famous country singer, and so Michelle had a Randy Travis tape. Now, for those of you that are young, a tape, you can't plug these in. You can't stick it. Well, ask somebody, they'll show you, and go to a museum. You'll find one. And so there was a Randy Travis song that he sung. I just thought it was funny. It stuck with me, and it fits today. So I thought, in the spirit of playlist, I'm going to acapella Randy Travis for you. Y'all ready? Come on, some Randy Travis. Yeah, baby. Song is Digging Up Bones. And here it is. Digging up bones. I'm digging up bones. I'm exhuming things that's better left alone. Resurrecting memories of a love that's dead and gone. I'm just sitting alone, digging up bones. That's Randy. All right, digging up bones. The problem is we dig up bones alone, like Randy's boy. If you dig up bones alone, go mess your life up. You'll end up drunk or stupid. Because everybody's got some bones that need dug up. How many of you know we have a Savior that desires to rescue us? But he doesn't just rescue us by his power and grace alone, only from God. It comes in the form of human containers. We need one another to be made whole. But if you've been hurt or injured, maybe you've been through some difficult relationships, you'll push the very thing away from you that God uses to make you whole. Let me read it to you in the scripture. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. Each one of us, each one should use whatever gift or grace he has received, now listen, to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. It's talking about the multifaceted grace of God. Now, there is an aspect of the grace of God that you only receive from your relationship with him. And yet, we find again and again in the Bible that God puts, listen, his grace on individuals. And if you will faithfully administer that grace to others, you actually are administering the grace of God to other people in human form. Now, that's great. So that grace is a great thing. What is it? Listen to this. Grace is divine enablement. Grace is God's ability imparted into your life without merit, without earning it. It is purely by the goodness of God. Grace enables you to do what you can never do without him. As I said, there is a part where God uses people. And I would tell you that it's a wonderful thing to connect to people, even counseling. Good counseling is remarkably effective. It's God's grace in human form. Yet there's also an aspect of many of our lives that there's been a place of devastation or brokenness that all the king's horses and all the king's men, they can't put Humpty Dumpty back together again. And you can work, and you can work with people, and even grace in human form. But at some point, God shows up as well, independently of human interaction. But what God, you'll see today, wants to do is do it all together. He desperately wants to see people made whole. He desperately, because you have to, if you're ever going to truly be made whole, you can't just receive the goodness and favor and love of God from him. You need to receive it from people. You need to be able to come to a place where you can, and that's what every church should be. A church should not be a place where people wear masks. A It's not a place where people should come and pretend, but it's a place where the most broken place in your life, even the most sinful place, place maybe you're guilty of or even ashamed of, places you've been hurt, that you're able to expose those in an intimate setting to people and with people. And from those very people receive kindness and care and not rejection and love. It's when you receive that kind of care in human form that literally God's grace begins to enter into your heart and to heal things that maybe have been generationally in your family. How many of you can look backwards and look at some of the crazy in your family and you find it in your own life? How many of you know we pass on to our children a lot more than just what was a good inheritance? Sometimes, anybody ever have any crazy passed on to them? No? Ask your spouse. They'll tell you your family's nuts and you're just like them. Just ask them. They'll tell you. But you will never be any happier than the state of your intimate relationships. But God's grace, if it's not in your life, if there are gaps where God's grace should be present, you are going to be in pain. You're going to suffer. You're going to have heartache unnecessarily. And wherever you find a grace gap in a person, you'll find a person that's living their life less than what they were created to do. Every one of us need help in our lives. That's why Jesus said, I've come to heal brokenhearted people. I've come to take prisoners and release them. Prisoners are guilty people. And I've come to pardon them. And I want to take you into three major relational gaps that are very commonly found in our lives. And the first one is the marriage relational gap. Now, by the way, if you say, well, yeah, I'm single, I'm not married. No, this is for married people as well. A lot of married people have a grace gap in their marriage. See, God intended relationships to benefit us. But if all you've ever seen or experienced is harm or pain, then why would you ever want to jump into it yourself? One of the lines in the song is, the reason I hold on is I want this hole gone. And you know that is actually a very true biblical picture. In fact, before we get in the Bible, how many of you have seen the movie Rocky? It's like Rocky 90 by now, so everyone knows who Rocky is, right? In Rocky 1, before he marries Adrian, he's talking to her brother, Polly. How many remember Polly, the little chubby guy that was kind of just a creep? Polly the creep, he just was. He's a creepy guy throughout every one of them, he's a creep. But you eventually like him. He's not that creepy at the end, but he's a creep. But anyway, the way he treats Adrian's horrible. So they're in this meatpacking thing together, and Rocky's talking to Polly, and Polly says, hey, you know, Rock, he said, my sister. He goes, what's with, I don't see the attraction. What do you want with her? How many of you know that brother could cause you to have some bones to dig up? And he says to Polly, he says, interpretation, he said, it fills gaps. And he said, gaps? What do you mean gaps? You know, Polly, I got gaps. She got gaps. Together, we fill gaps. So do you realize Rocky was quoting the book of Genesis? You know you got gaps. You got gaps. You say, I don't have any gaps. That's your gap right there, denial. Everyone's got gaps. And there are three major relational gaps. The Bible points us to that if you don't have these relational grace gaps filled, you're not going to experience all that God wants you to have in your life or to fulfill in your life. You will live your whole life in broken places that don't have to stay that way. I'm not talking about a perfect world. I'm talking about a perfect God who makes people whole in a broken world. That's what he desires to do. And so in Genesis chapter 2, you find God having said after creation, God said it became and it was good. It was good. It was good. It was good. Then it said he made man. And after he made man, he said it wasn't good. Listen to Genesis 2:18. The Lord God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper who is just right for him or his opposite part. God said, even though man, Adam, had this intimate relationship with God, he said he's alone. Listen to me. God said, it is not good for a person to be alone. Doesn't mean you shouldn't have time alone. He said, I'm going to make a helper suitable for him. I'm going to make his opposite part. And because most of us were were either raised in somewhat of maybe dysfunctional situations, or maybe we've experienced great pain in our life, or maybe you've been injured through a relationship. I don't know. The list can go on and on. That eventually, even if you are married, and by the way, this gap, this relational grace gap of having a spouse in your life isn't just for single people. There are a lot of married people that don't have this. And there's a price you pay when you don't. Now let me say this. Not everybody is intended to be married. The Bible talks about a grace or an ability given by God whereby someone can have what we would call the gift of singleness, the ability to be single. He said, that's me. I have the gift of singleness. Well, here's how you know if you have the gift of singleness. If you have absolutely no sexual desire that drives you to act out on it in any other way. So, well, I don't have that gift. Then you're not meant to be single. Well, I'm not getting married. You're out of your mind. No. No, I'll date and sleep around and do this, or I'll whatever with this. But I'll tell you, no. There is a grace that comes when two people love each other the way God called them to love each other, that you'll get no other way unless you have the gift of singleness, and very few people do. But most people push back from it. See, relational dysfunction is simply this. It's when we normalize what is unhealthy or even destructive behaviors in ourselves or in other people. In your marriage, God intended for you to love each other in your broken places. It doesn't mean you don't have arguments. It doesn't mean you don't have difficulty. It doesn't mean to be, people say, we're so different from one another. We're not compatible. Everybody marries their opposite typically. Michelle and I are completely, completely different from one another. But here's the reality. Most people get married saying we want to become one, but then they want to fight for the rest of their lives over which one. You need your opposite part. And can I tell you that the bottom line of what makes a marriage strong is communicate, all those things are great, is that I know this like I know my name. And I think Michelle will tell you the same thing, that no matter what I may be dealing with, no matter what may happen to me or through my life or to my life, no matter, even if it's something shameful, that I know I can go to her and talk to her, and she knows she can come to me, and we won't disappear, we won't run away, we will stand with each other through the darkest, deepest hurts of our lives. That grace comes in marriage. God said, I've called you to live that way. And yet most of us have learned to live in a way in our marital relationships that are unhealthy. We've normalized dysfunction. It's why I don't have enough words to tell you how important it is that if you're serious about receiving the fullness of the grace of God in every area of your life, get in a marriage small group and get your marriage enhanced. Say, I'm already divorced or on my second run through, and man, we're in a blended family, and man, it's not going well. And people will say, we'll figure it out on our own. We'll just pray more. No, you won't. Number one, you won't pray more. It's hard to pray when you want to kill somebody. You need to get in an environment where you can open your heart to other people. Learn God's word in those environments. It's critically important. But we normalize dysfunction. Let me give you an example. How many of you know anger is a godly emotion? It is. The Bible says God is angry. He gets angry. But the Bible tells us, be angry, but don't sin. So anger is something that can go from a place of normal human expression to sinful or destructive behavior. That's just the facts. Yet many people, here's how they deal with anger in their lives. They scream, they yell, they get furious, they throw things, they punch walls. And they've been doing it for years. And it's just how they are, and it's normal to them. That's not normal. And your spouse, maybe they're a little codependent or a little afraid, and they just try to not tick you off. But when a person is given to that kind of anger, the tick-off factor is low. I mean, you can get furious over maybe a 7, 8, or a 9 of a or a 10 on a scale of 1 to 10 harm or someone hurting you. But I mean, their button goes off at a 2 all the time. And they scream and they yell and their neck, husband or wife. And in that home, they'll sometimes spend 50 years doing it. And they normalize a dysfunction. And then they raise their children to understand this is how you communicate. And let me give you just a hypothetical, and it's not so hypothetical, sadly. You're in a home where either the husband or the wife, let's just take the husband, he screams, he yells, that's how he deals with his emotion. And I don't mean, once in a while, it's just how he deals with it. And he has, a little girl, and she grows up. She starts dating a guy, she's 20 years old, guy comes home, and they visit with him. It all seems normal. They're on the way out, and they're getting in the car, and they're leaving. And the dad happened to be walking in the garage, and he hears this guy screaming at his daughter. You idiot! I can't believe you told your blankety-blank parents that. You are such a stupid... you make me sick! And the dad's like, I got to kill somebody now. He said, why would you let someone talk to you that way? Daddy, that's how you talk to mom our whole life. Isn't that how a man talks to a woman? See, you are either going to let Jesus into the messed up areas of your life and let people in there, or you are going to pass that gift along, and you are going to open things to the lives of people that you love that you wish you never opened those doors. So, man, I've already opened those doors. What do I do? Aren't you glad we have a God that restores stuff? One thing you don't do is pretend. My kids are raised. I don't know what to say. Can I tell you something about your kids? If they're old and older than you and they're out of your house, they know the crazy. They probably are old enough now. They're either repeating it and thinking it's normal or they get it. You know you're not telling them anything new when you say, hey, listen, there was some crazy growing up. We're dealing with it. We're sorry. We want you guys not to have this. An apology from a parent when you're an adult is huge. And some people can never do it because they don't know how to live God's grace out of their heart. Everyone without a gift of singleness, I'm telling you, is called to join their heart to another person, a man and a woman coming together and learning how to love each other and letting Jesus into the most broken places of their life. The spousal relational grace gap. God wants to make you whole. And if you're single, please just don't go run around, try to find someone to have sex with and think, well, God understands. By the way, he doesn't. Yeah, it's not a big deal. By the way, if God says it's a big deal, quote, big deal then. God never intended for human beings to figure out how to live in just this prison. This lack of real intimacy. In our culture, when you say you love somebody, typically that means you're having sex. Oh, that's not love. It is a form of love, but it's the lowest form of love. It's the form of love that we share with animals. The highest form of love is the God kind of love that does what is in your best interest. And just a thought, if you are young and you're about to get married, and you want to have sex a lot, if you don't have the God kind of love, you ain't going to be having a lot of sex. I'll try this side of the church. You don't treat each other better than you deserve. You don't try to put their interests before yours. Your sex life will dry up. Now, I didn't say your sexual desire will dry up. You will end up expressing that in a way that's unhealthy and even destructive. Or you can let Jesus in. You can let people in. The second gap I want to talk to you about is this one, the friendship gap, the friendship grace gap. The song said, when you can't see the light, it's hard to know which one of us is caving. Human beings, we can't see everything. The Bible, in fact, says we know in part, but then face to face. I can't see all the stuff in my life. You can't see all the stuff in your life. You need people, and friends are critical. You need a friend in your life that will be able to speak honestly to you to better your life. Remember this, isolation never solves a problem, ever. All isolation does is exasperate your problem and it sets you up for addictive and even dangerous behavior because you are not going to live in a vacuum. If you have needs, you're gonna want those needs to be met. But God intended friends to bring a form of grace that no one else can bring. Look what the word of God says in Proverbs 27, verse 6. Wounds from a sincere friend are better than many kisses from an enemy. What do you mean kisses from an enemy? God is telling us that a real friend brings two things, truth and grace. He said, let me tell you what an enemy brings, just grace. Just, it's okay. Hey man, I don't want to judge you. Whatever you're into, babe, it's cool with me. I'm not judgmental. What if it's going to kill them? Dude, hey man, I'm not going to judge them. A good friend. The Bible calls that the kiss of an enemy. He said, faithful are the wounds of a friend. What's that mean? That means you're out to dinner, maybe with, you're dating and you double date, or maybe you're married or whatever. Or you're out with friends, whatever. And these two couples are out, and the guy just starts berating his wife or girlfriend and puts her down, makes her the butt of his jokes. And these guys are really good friends, and they're growing in God together. And his friend, who's a little bit further in understanding the things of God, he pulls him aside later on, the day after. He said, dude, man, what's up with you? He said, well, what do you mean? He said, man, the way you spoke to her last night, what's wrong with you? Man, you put her down like 5-10 times. You made her the butt of your jokes. Why would you do that? He said, oh, you know, it's just how I am. Well, dude, that's not how you should be. Well, it's just how I am. But you understand, number one, she's not going to want to be married to you. And if she does, she's going to hate you. You want to be married to someone that hates you? No, man, she'll love me, man. No, she'll love me. No, it's hard to love crazy and stupid. This is stupid. You can't live this way. But I'll tell you what. Why don't we together, and you give them an opportunity, go to a small group, go to this. As a couple, we'll go do this. And why don't you let God in there? Why don't you let friends in there? Why don't you become accountable to some of this stuff? It's going to ruin your life. That's what a friend does. A friend doesn't, what a lot of people see Christians, somebody just pointing their finger. You. You. It's fine to come to someone and say, man, this is destructive. This is harmful. But I'm not going anywhere. I'm not going to judge you and say, I don't want to be a part of your life. And I'm not talking about crazy boundary stuff. I'm just talking about normal relationships. I want to be a part of your life. Let's fight through this together. Church ought to be a place where people see you through, not try to see through you. That's what Christianity, Jesus said, I came to make broken people whole. I came to make prisoners free. That's what friendship's about. That's what the Bible tells you. It is so critical that you choose your friendships. It's critical that you choose people. There are no perfect people, but people that are moving toward a relationship with God, who want to walk in truth. One of the most crazy statements I hear in our culture, it might be the stupidest, you say we shouldn't say stupid in church. Let me say, maybe polite. One of the stupidest things I hear people say, this is my truth. That is brain dead. Truth isn't subjective. You don't get to pick your truth like you don't get to pick the sunset or the sunrise. Hey, what time sunrise today? Well, my truth is, no, truth, God is truth. So I don't believe that. You'll be dead in a little while. Ask him. I promise you when you meet him, you'll go, shucks. Probably say more than that. He is truth. And it's critically important that you choose your friends wisely. Listen to what Corinthians says. 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, don't be fooled. Bad companions will ruin good character. Proverbs 12:26, the righteous person is cautious in his friendship, but the way of the wicked leads them astray. See, you think wicked, we think somebody robbing banks, shooting people. A wicked person is someone who kisses you when you're running over the mountain, running over the cliff. If somebody you loved was about to fall headlong over a cliff and they didn't see it, and I'm standing at the edge, I see it, I see your friend, your daughter, your son coming to the edge of the cliff, and I'm just standing there, and I could stop them, but I'm not judgmental. I don't want to judge. So, hey man, dude, I'm cool with you. Go. Splat, they're dead. You come over, what is wrong with you? Hey man, I love them. Who am I to judge? I wasn't going to tell them not to. Hey, maybe they wanted to go. If you saw somebody do that, you'd say, you're out of your mind. What kind of human being watches someone run over a cliff and doesn't go, hey, tackle them, stop them, do anything? He said, people who don't love you enough to help you do that are your enemy and will lead you astray. And the Bible defines that as wicked behavior. That's why Proverbs goes on to say this, 14:12, there is a way that seems right to a man. Doesn't mean they're bad people. They just don't have light. If you can't see the light, Jesus said it this way, the blind lead the blind, they both fall into the ditch. Friends, godly friends, bring light and grace into your life. He said, there is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, that way leads to death. Here's the key. It doesn't lead to death in the beginning. It leads to death in the end. But when you get to the end, you can't go back to the beginning. That's why you want to take heed. That's why Proverbs is called the book of wisdom. It gives you choices to make today that will build your life better tomorrow. And so God intends for every one of us to have that marital contact, unless you have a gift of singleness, where this hole that God put in every human being, that he said, I want that filled by another person, and I want you to learn to love each other. I want you to have the kind of friendships that will help you see the light. I want you to be able to stand with friends no matter what's going on. You don't get to run when your friends are hurting. You stick when everybody runs. The Bible said a friend sticks closer than a brother. But there's a third gap called the God grace gap, the gap of not having the right relationship with God. Let me show you how Ecclesiastes puts it together and we'll close. I love that song said, you're the broken one, but I'm the one who needs saving. In marriage, we're always trying to define who's at fault. The fact of it is we both need saved. We both need help. We both need to find out, how did I get here? I don't want to stay here. Can I tell you that most people do not want to be where they are? Very few people get married and stop the vows and say, Pastor, I'd like to share some vows privately for my, that I've been put together. Honey, I want to say these just to you. And she smiles and he says, in 10 years, you'll wish I were dead. Because I'm going to be a selfish pig and I won't care. And she looks and smiles back and said, it's okay, because I wish I was with somebody else anyway. And I'll hate you so badly. I wish you were dead too. And the pastor says, let us pray. Nobody picks that kind of life. But there is a God that wants to come into the most desperately broken places of my life. He wants to do it through people, but he ultimately wants to do it even through his own presence. Look at Ecclesiastes 4, verse 9 said, two are better than one. Say it out loud, better than one. Two are better than one because they have a good return for their work. If one falls down, his friend can help him up. But pity the man who falls and has no one to help him up. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. Why wouldn't he say two strands? Because there's a third strand that needs to be woven in to the human interaction of grace is the God strand. The three strands, see, if you ever grab a piece of rope that's been woven together, you can't tell where one begins and the other. They're woven together. And the more they're woven together, the more strands woven together, the harder it is to break. Human beings can only do so much for one another, even being repositories and depositories of the grace of God toward others. But there is something that an intimate relationship and walk with God in your everyday life can do that no one else and nothing else can. And in fact, if you don't understand that, you will make demands of your relationships, your friendships, your marriage, and you will demand that your spouse or your friends fix what only God can fix. You will demand that they make you happy. You will start to project on them your rejection. You'll have friends and no one treats me right and everybody's mean to me. And before long, you're projecting stuff that doesn't even exist. Because the only one who can ultimately make you whole is that intimate relationship with God through Christ. That's why Jesus said in his first sermon, he said, I have come to let guilty prisoners be pardoned and go free. I have come to heal brokenhearted people. And what breaks my heart is that most people see a relationship with God as difficult, as uphill, as miserable. And it's not. It's just the opposite. It's literally having a God who wants to show up, listen to me, in your everyday life, not some fake church thing you do on a weekend. What a joke. I went to church. Like, okay, that's great. No, I think it's important. The Bible tells you to. But here's the reality. If that's what you think's going to do it, just kind of come in and leave. God wants you to know him every day. He wants you to be intimate with him every day. Because he loves you, because he has a plan for you, because he made you for a purpose, and because he doesn't want your life to be shaped by all the horrible things that have happened to you. He wants those prison walls to come down. And as we close this morning, whether you're here in person or many, many hundreds of people watching online, I want to pray for you. And my prayer today is that the person, the literal person of the Holy Spirit, in a few moments sweeps this room and does a work in you that is so amazing. Our worship team's coming up right now. The service isn't over. Please don't be in a hurry. I know the time. We're right in our normal time frame. Don't run out and miss out on what, trust me, the parking lot's not that hard to get out of here. And the Steelers, don't worry. It won't be anything to miss. And you won't miss it anyway. Just speed a little bit. You'll be fine. I'm teasing. I'm just teasing. Why don't you let God do a work in you? Why not just, instead of listening to and worshiping and watching and hearing, why don't you right in a moment open your heart and ask the God who loves you beyond imagination to show up in places that are absolutely broken? Or maybe worse yet, you don't even know they're messed up. Do you know most of us don't even know where we're messed up? That's why next week, I won't tell you the song, but we're going to deal with behaviors that you can't seem to change, even addiction. And why don't you make a difference in some? Everybody's had addiction touch their family at some point or someone they know. Bring people next week that are struggling with behaviors they can't stop, even people with addiction. I don't care where they're at in their life. Say, what if they're a little drunk? I don't care. We have great coffee. Bring them in. Just put a lid on it and come on in. I'm serious. Why don't you let God use you and be a container of grace? The following week, I'm going to have a guy named Claude Robald speak to you. I'm going to interview him. He's the guy that helped Michelle and I through, I call it an unintentional intervention, where he was helping us do some church stuff, and he began to help us see things we were totally blind to. And it made a massive difference in our lives. I'm going to set you up to learn what he taught us, because what he taught us and what he helped us with, I can't even exaggerate it to you. I'm so grateful to him. And if you're serious about having a great life, I hope you can see where this series is going. This isn't so you can come hear a song that you might dig or like. This is about opening your heart and letting God into places so you can do something incredible in your life. So next week, we'll talk about behaviors you can't change, even addictions. The next week, you're going to get to hear from a guy named Claude Robald who literally changed our life. I want you to have the same opportunity. And then there's more after that. It's a 7-week series. But I want to pray for you. Would you bow your heads with me today? Every head bowed, please. Every eye closed. If you're here today and you don't know Christ as the Lord of your life, I'm not asking you if you're a good person. I trust you are. Or if you go to church or went to church or baptized, all that's good. None of it will make you a Christian. Have you ever received Christ into your life? Have you ever invited Jesus to be the Lord of your life? Or maybe you've done that, but your heart is so far from God, you really aren't walking with God any longer. And you want that restoration in your soul today. You want to know that every stain of sin is gone. In a moment, I'm going to invite you to pray with me, to invite Jesus into your heart. And ask him to come. He promised in the Word of God to turn no one away. He'll come. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. And you can start a journey with him today, where he can get into those prison walls and knock them down in your everyday life. You keep coming. You keep joining with other people and let them love you. It's so important. With every head bowed, every eye closed, if you're here or watching online and this is for you, whether you've never given your life to Jesus or maybe you have and your heart's far from him, say, Pastor, I want him to be the Lord of my life today. Every head is bowed, every eye is closed. I will pray for you right where you're seated. Every head is bowed, every eye is closed. We're going to pray in just a moment. But I want you to know I'm not going to single you out or embarrass you. But in a moment, I'll ask you to raise your hand. And then this whole church will pray the prayer out loud and together with you right where you're seated. So with every head bowed, every eye closed, you'd say, Pastor, please include me in that prayer. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Would you just raise your hand right where you're seated and I'll pray for you. Do it right now. And I'll include you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. If you raised your hands, or you should have, if you raised, thank you, God bless you, thank you, thank you. You can go ahead and put your hands back down. Hey, if you raised your hand or you should have, pray this out loud, and we're going to pray it together with you. And when we're done, we're going to step in a moment into God's presence. And we're going to worship just one song. And I believe with all my heart that the Holy Spirit of our God is going to do something amazing in people's lives today. Generational prisons knocked down. That's the kind of God we serve. I believe when you come to church, it ought to change your life, because we meet with a living God. So if you raised your hand or should have, pray this out loud where you hear it. We'll pray it out loud together with you. Pray it where you hear it. Say, Heavenly Father. Pray it where you hear it. Say, Heavenly Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. And I believe with all my heart that Jesus is the Son of God. He died on a cross to bear my sin debt. He was buried and rose from the dead so I could be saved. Jesus, I open my heart to you today. I receive you now to be my Savior and to be my Lord. Thank you for coming. Amen. Amen. Give them a hand, would you? Best decision of your life.
Thank you for listening to this teaching from Victory Family Church. We pray that you were blessed by God's word. For additional teaching, resources, and podcasts, as well as information on who we are and our upcoming events, please visit our website, lifeatvictory.com.